Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. This week, after thousands of interviews and hundreds of briefings and 19 months of painful, sometimes acrimonious hearings, the National Commission on Terrorist Attacks Upon the United States is due to release its report. It is an examination of what happened and why and what might be fixed, all stemming from that clear blue September morning in the instant when a Boston air traffic controller made his call to NORAD.
We have a problem here. We have a hijacked aircraft headed towards New York, and we need someone to scramble some F-16s.
It's horrible enough to see someone you love struck down in this manner. It would be even worse for the rest of us to do nothing to prevent other families from having to endure such grief and pain in the future. We must not allow the people who were struck down to simply become statistics.
Your government failed you. Those entrusted with protecting you failed you. And I failed you. We tried hard. That doesn't matter because we failed.
Isn't it a fact, Dr. Rice, that the August 6th PDB warned against possible attacks in this country? And I ask you whether you recall the title of that PDB.
I believe the title was Bin Laden Determined to Attack Inside the United States.
The 9/11 Commission report is expected to be released later this week, and to help us look ahead and to focus on what's important, we have invited three of the widows of 9/11 to join us. They call themselves the Jersey Girls, and they've earned a reputation as tireless citizen advocates, first for their work in helping establish the commission in the first place, also demanding documents and insisting that senior members of the administration be called to testify. We'd like to have you join in the conversation. What has the country really learned about what happened on September 11th? What questions do you want the commission to answer? And do you think the politicians will heed their recommendations? Or will the report get lost in the din of a presidential election campaign? Our number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. My guest back again with us on The Connection, Kristen Breitweiser. She's joining us on the line from North Haven, Long Island. Kristen, thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me back.
And Mindy Kleinberg and Laurie Van Auken are joining us from the NPR studios in New York. Mindy and Laurie, thanks to you for coming in as well.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us back.
Mindy, let me start with you. Just how's the week beginning for you? Is there a feeling of, oh my God, finally we got here, or is it still wondering what's going to be in the report and what difference is it all going to make?
It's a combination. I would like to think that on Thursday I could breathe a sigh of relief knowing that we have the definitive accounting of what happened and, you know, have the recommendations. But I know that there's a lot of work left to be done. We're really just beginning because unless those recommendations get implemented, you know, the commission's work will be for naught.
And Kristen, I want to go back, if I can, almost 2 years to a statement that you made to a joint meeting of the House and Senate Intelligence Committees. Now, this was even before there was a 9/11 commission. And you said to them at the time there were too many questions unanswered. I'm going to quote you here. You said, an independent blue ribbon panel would be the most appropriate means to achieve such a thorough and expansive examination, in large part because it wouldn't be limited in scope or hindered by time. And you said it could provide a comprehensive, unbiased and definitive report of the devastation of September 11th. Tell me what you're thinking now. Are you going to get what you asked for then?
I'm hopeful that the nation will get what many of the families, including myself, were asking for then. And I think it's been a long time in waiting. And obviously, all of us, I think, are in great anticipation because more than anything, much like Mindy said, we need to make sure that these systemic problems, these institutional problems get remedied. Because really, you know, we're in the bullseye, and we are going to have another attack. And I hope more than anything, I think the clock is ticking, and I think it's going to be a race to see whether these recommendations, assuming they're sound recommendations, get implemented, or we have another attack. And I'm hoping that the recommendations can get implemented before we have an attack.
And Laurie, when Kristen talks about the expectation of another attack, put that in context of this commission report for me, because a large part of what you've been looking for and other people have been looking for are those tiny little details, the timing, the sort of intricate understanding of what happened on that day. Is that still important?
Of course it's important. We've always wanted to search for the truth. We had our faith in our government shaken on September 11th. All of our systems failed. And we wanted to take a good hard look at how those failures occurred. We were hoping for some accountability on the level, you know, on for the people that were in charge that day. 19 hijackers pretty much defeated our military and, you know, with not a lot of money. You know, that's a really scary thought. We got involved with this because we wanted answers and we wanted, you know, good recommendations to have nobody else ever walk in our shoes. And you know, nothing's changed with those expectations.
But are you feeling at this point in any way disappointed that the commission didn't push as hard for some of the documents that that you know, you folks and others said were important, that some of the work that could have gone into the preparation of the report wasn't done?
Yeah, I mean, there's disappointment, you know, has been from the beginning. We asked for the commissioners to subpoena early and often. You know, they didn't get started on the subpoenaing until, you know, a little bit into the commission, which was a bit of a disappointment. The hard-hitting hearings didn't start until January. That was a little bit of a disappointment. So looking back, we pushed as hard as we could. I mean, there were things that they accomplished, which I think are fabulous, you know, that when you played those little tape portions at the beginning of this of the intro, you know, it brings back amazing memories for us. You know, the hearings, the PDB was an incredible document to have come out because, you know, it was Bin Laden determined to strike in the United States. I mean, that was a warning. And, you know, those are the kinds of things that we did push for. And we would have hoped, you know, all the documents would have come out. But, you know, we don't know yet. We're waiting for the report.
It's hard in a way, Mindy, to think back to where we all were 18 months ago, because if we look over that period of time, and Laurie's right, the tape kind of reminds us of that. There was a time when there wasn't going to be a commission. The administration didn't want that to happen. The administration didn't want Condoleezza Rice to testify. The administration didn't want to release this presidential briefing. And yet all that was changed. How much of that had to do with pushing these people or shaming these people? How do you look back on how all those decisions were changed?
You know, I think undoubtedly because there was family involvement that those things happened. I think without citizen involvement, you don't make any changes. It was because the people were asking for the truth. The people were asking for an investigation that Washington was forced to do something. And what I've learned is that that's really how Washington works. Left on their own, you know, things won't happen. Good things won't happen. And unfortunately, tragedy breeds advocacy. And you see a lot of laws that are passed because of people who have suffered a tragedy and realize that there are parts of the system that don't work and push for change. And so, you know what? We need to let everybody in America know that we all need to work together to continuously push for these changes and for the truth to be told and for the bureaucracy to change its ways and to be held accountable.
So, Kristen, it's not enough to pick up the phone to say, I'm from Middletown, New Jersey. You're my senator. You're my congressional representative. I want you to do this for me. Call me back when you've got it done.
Listen, I would love for everyone in America to do that, because if everyone did that, that would certainly affect some change. I think more than that, though, the American citizens need to realize that democracy takes work. It takes an enormous amount of work, and we need to engage ourselves in matters of national security. You know, that's just one of the things we need to engage ourselves in, and we need to have our voices heard. And I think that more than anything, we're hoping that this final report will engage the American citizens, will engage our elected officials in a debate. I was very happy to hear that Representative Shambliss said that they're going to have hearings next week on the commission's recommendations. I think that's wonderful. We have been begging the Intel committees to examine these topics, to even look at the joint inquiry of Congress's report, and hold public hearings so that the American public can be informed, can be educated, and can effectively partake in the process. Because without the American people serving as the inspiration, victims, family members, regular citizens, really, you know, democracy takes work, and you can't leave it alone. And I think the American citizen's role is to be like a watchdog group, to force and affect change.
Lori, we've seen a couple of things in the last few days, a couple of hints of what's going to be in the report. No surprise that there'll be a call for a serious shakeup at the top when it comes to managing the different intelligence agencies. Also news that perhaps a startling number of the hijackers may have transited Iran on their way to the U.S., and we will hear more about that. From your perspective, what are you looking for? What's the subheading that you're going to be turning to in that particular report?
Well, you know, we were looking for an accounting of the day, obviously. We wanted a timeline, wanted to know where our leaders were and, you know, how the information made its way from the bottom, from the intelligence agencies up through the government, up to the top, to understand pretty much how we were, you know, our military was structured to protect us that day or not. NORAD, we learned, was looking outward in a Cold War posture, yet we had these warnings that maybe should have told them to turn around and look inward. You know, we were looking for things like that. I was listening to a program where Stansfield Turner was speaking, and he was, I think, CIA director underneath Carter's administration.
Right.
And, you know, he explained to me, really, you know, this recommendation about having a czar in charge of the intelligence agencies. And I can understand that right now there's really nobody in charge. There's like 15 agencies, and they're spending like $40 billion a year on intel. And there's really nobody that's held accountable at the top of that whole system. So, you know, in 1947, there was the CIA was established, and that was kind of left out. So he was saying that he felt that that would correct that inadequacy in the system. And, you know, I can understand that. If nobody's in charge, there's nobody to be held accountable. And we need accountability, or we just, you know, where there's no CEO here. And we need to basically have somebody that we can turn to when something goes right or something goes wrong, or expect to do the job. You know, there's agencies all over. There's the NSA, there's the NRO, there's the military has one, the State Department has, the Energy Department has.
I can't even keep track of them. I know what you mean. Kristen, you wanted to jump in here.
Yeah, I think that part of it is definitely the accountability. And I think after you read a lot of the commission staff reports, you come to understand that we didn't have an overall strategy. Because everything was in so many different parts, there was no overriding strategy with how to deal with organizations like Al-Qaeda. And as a result of that, you know, we suffered 9/11. And so I think if you have a person, a cabinet-level position possibly, or something else like that, someone who's responsible to set up a strategy of how we as a nation are going to handle this, whether it's drying up funding of terrorism, whether it's hardening homeland security, whether it's learning how to, you know, do whatever is needed. We lacked that before 9/11. DCI Tenet's job was that. But, you know, obviously you can't run the CIA and cover all the intel agencies. It's just an overwhelming job. And I think Director Tenet, you know, said that himself in his testimony.
Kristen, I have to stop you right there. We're going to take a very, very short break. We'll be back to continue the conversation. What has the country learned about what happened on September 11th? A lot of that information is already out. What's left to be said in the commission's report, which is due out this week? What are you watching for? 1-800-423-8255. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from NPR. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. Thursday of this week is the day when most people are expecting we will finally see copies of the 9/11 Commission report, supposed to be about 500 pages in the report. It is currently being looked at by the White House and expected to be released soon this week, perhaps as late as next week. Still not entirely clear. Our number is 1-800-423-8255, and I'd like you to join conversation this hour with Kristen Breitweiser, Lori Van Auken, and Mindy Kleinberg. They are all three of them widows of 9/11, and they become referred to as the Jersey Girls, and quite renowned for their work in working the corridors of power in Washington to make sure that the 9/11 Commission actually got to some of the areas where it did. I want to, Lori, perhaps start with you on whether or not you're concerned that some of the important information in the report isn't going to be released. I know it has to go through this vetting process where people in the White House or in the intelligence agencies take a look at it. I'm not entirely sure who all gets to put their hands on it before it becomes public. But are you worried that some of the information that you think should be public won't be released?
Of course, that's one of our worries. We think that there's, you know, we're not experts on this, obviously, but we think that there's been overclassification, and classification has been used to protect political, you know, kind of CYA, but not necessarily for protecting our country, you know, in a way that we need protection. That's something we're worried about. We were hoping that this report would be written more like the Joint Intelligence Committee's report, which was which was classified, and then it was just declassified, and you could see what was redacted. I don't think that's how this is going to be structured, which is, you know, something we really would have liked it to have been done the other way. Also, the independent nature of the commission, you know, was called into question when you have the people that are being examined, obviously, having the last say as to what gets into the report. So, you know, those are areas where, you know, in a perfect world, we could have maybe made some changes. But this is what we have. And we obviously are going to wait for the report and see what's in it. We can't prejudge until we've seen it. And that's where we're sitting, waiting till Thursday.
There were those moments, Mindy, when Richard Clark was testifying, when Richard Benvenisti was challenging Dr. Rice, when people watching it from the two different political perspectives were saying, oh, it's become partisan. And that's going to be something that could well plague the final report, coming out as it does in the months before a presidential election that's so close. What's your fear that it's just going to get lost in accusations from both sides, that the document itself is, you know, too partisan? You see what I mean?
Yeah, you know what? It's something that we are very afraid of. I mean, the hearings were never supposed to be partisan. I think the fact that you had five Republicans and five Democrats that made up the commission was, you know, supposed to say to you, okay, it's not a nonpartisan but a bipartisan commission. So sometimes you're going to hear partisanship from the commissioners, but, you know, as Americans, you can sit and listen to both sides and you're supposed to draw your own conclusions. I think it's going to be unfortunate if the politicians allow this report to go that way, if they allow it to become about finger pointing and name calling, and if they allow the recommendations to be lost in a sea of partisanship fighting. You know, that'll be a loss for all Americans. It's something that we are going to try very hard to work with the commission going forward to try and get the public to understand that these are recommendations that are supposed to make the nation safe. And what you could hope for is that because it's a political year, that maybe the politicians will take this opportunity to actually pass these things quickly, yeah, instead of fight about them.
And Kristen, you folks have already felt the sting of the partisan attacks on the questions that you raise when you're raising questions about people within the administration. You've seen that over the course of the last year.
Definitely, and I think that's a shame. I think more than anything, I would like to see all of our elected officials prove by their actions that national security does in fact transcend politics. And, you know, I'd like our politicians to not be politicians, but to be elected officials and to remind themselves that they are there by the will of the people. And I think it's been very disappointing to see how politics has injected itself into the commission's hearings. And I'm hopeful that, you know, coming forward, that's going to stop, because lives are being lost. And I think that we really need to put national security above politics. I would love more than anything for the commission's report to come out, for President Bush and Senator Kerry to go away to Camp David for a week, take their best people, the brightest people, work out a national security plan, and present it to the American people and say, regardless of who you elect, this plan will be in place and you will be safer. And this is our way of proving to you that national security transcends politics. But, you know, really, that's a laughable scenario. It would be a nice scenario so that we would know that above anything, our national security is foremost. But here's hoping.
1-800-423-8255 is the number to join us. We're going to Plainfield, Massachusetts for our first call. Dan's on the line. Hi, Dan.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yeah.
First, I just want to thank you ladies for, rather than just sitting in victimhood, really taking this on. And as a parent, I take it very seriously that you're standing up and going to for a change instead of wallowing in the horrors. I'm wondering how you're feeling about this one aspect of this. Maybe you've touched upon it somewhat, and that is members of anybody within Congress, from what I have seen, have been blasted for suggesting any kind of complicity within the Bush administration related to 9/11. And there is there's a litany of evidence and questions that have been unanswered.
What do you mean by complicity, Dana?
Well, any time this has come up, it's considered to be an outlandish and outrageous suggestion for various aspects of the Bush administration have received amazing, vast profits as a result of 9/11. And there are aspects to, for example, President Bush's behavior on the day of 9/11 that seem very suspicious. For example, it is reported that he mentioned that he saw the first plane hit just prior to walking into the school in Florida for his photo op, when it would have been, as far as we know, impossible for him to see the first plane hit at that point.
Okay, Dan, let me turn to Mindy here just in terms of the sort of precise nature of what the commission's going to be able to do with a timeline. But take it another step too, Mindy. There have been so many theories postulated over the past 3 years about, you know, this person was involved or that person knew. Is the commission report well enough place to deal with some of those, even the wilder ones?
What I had initially hoped when I was fighting for this investigation was that we would have the definitive, comprehensive accounting of what happened, and that those theories that are out there would be able to be debunked by this report. I am still hoping that there is enough in this report that it could answer all those questions, because you look at the Warren Commission, and you know that, you know, 50 years later, people are still questioning, and you really don't want that. You don't want that for the country. I don't want that for my children. So I'm hoping that in the report, while it might not answer the question specifically that he's asking, that there will be enough substance in it to answer the question.
Laura, your kids are probably among the eldest of the people who are here on the program today, your son and daughter. Are teenagers, are they not? 14, 15,
yes,
17?
Yes, they are. My son is 17 and my daughter is 15.
And how are you looking at the report with them? Are they looking to this report for, you know, answers about what happened on that day? Tell us the story that we haven't been told?
Of course they are. They're old enough to know exactly what's going on. They watched us fight for the commission. To the caller, I want to say we wallowed in our grief for a while before we got going asking for the commission. Then we, you know, pulled ourselves up and we started asking questions. Yes, my kids, again, will be looking to this report, and I hope that they can always read the report and know what happened. That's one of the things I'm hoping for from the report. And again, we have only a few more days to wait to find out what's in it.
1-800-423-8255 to Sudbury, Massachusetts next. And Mary's with us. Hi, Mary.
Hello. I've been listening to the news this morning, and I couldn't help but notice the Cokie Roberts inquiry and her weekly report. She suggested that the Clinton administration had not passed enough information on to the Bush administration about this 9/11. Now, I'm wondering, how can she have this kind of information when the report is not out yet, the conclusions are not made, and all along, I haven't heard anything that suggests this kind of accusation. What do the New Jersey women think about these kinds of conclusions that people are making, in our own NPR reporting?
Yeah, well, I mean, one feature of the report is that a lot of the staff work's already been done. Kristen, I don't know whether or not in the staff reports that that explain what happened from one administration to the other, there's any information there. I mean, at this point, 2 or 3 days away from the release of the report, is it all speculation, or do we know?
No, I don't think it's all speculation, and I think obviously there have been some leaks. And second to that, we were told all along that the staff statements would be the backbone of the final report, and that's why they work so hard on the staff statements. So I don't know if you can possibly draw a conclusion. I think my understanding with the writing of the final report, what the commission was going to do was set out the facts wherever they led them to and not draw conclusions and let the American people draw conclusions from the facts. I could be wrong. That was just my understanding of it. So I think that really it's going to be left up to the American people to decide in their own opinion, in their own personal opinion. Maybe the Clinton administration didn't provide enough information to the Bush administration. Maybe the Bush administration, you know, didn't make it a high enough priority. That's going to be left to the American people, and I think that that was a smart decision, if that is the case with the commission, because that is going to force the American people to engage in this dialogue.
I want to add something to that. I think maybe what Cokie Roberts was referring to, there are news reports that there's another PDB that's being released from 1998 that was pretty much speaking to hijackings as a threat that was given to Clinton at the time. And I think both of those are going to appear, from my understanding, again, because I haven't seen the report, obviously, that both of those PDBs are going to appear in the report. And maybe that's what she's talking about. That's all, you know, that's the only thing I can guess.
1-800-423-8255 to Medfield, Massachusetts. David's on the line. Hi, David.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
Good. I just have a question. The people who have organized these very brave people and actually gotten the commission going, if they are, as a group, disappointed with the report, or if they feel that there are important omissions, I'm wondering if they're going to continue to petition for more information, or if they're just going to accept the report as it is.
Who wants to jump on that? Thanks, David, for that. Laurie, do you want to talk to David about that? I mean, is this your best shot? If it's not in the report this week, have you missed an opportunity to get this stuff public?
You know, it's a real soul-searching situation, that question, because, you know, all along we sort of said that we would lobby for another, you know, investigation if this one didn't answer our questions, you know, half-jokingly, because I just don't know if we'd have the strength to do this again.
Yeah.
But, you know, we always treated this as our only shot at getting to the truth, and that's why we pushed so hard, and that's why we attended the hearings, and that's why we asked all of our questions, and you know, listen, it's really been a very tiring 3 years from, you know, September 11th until now, and raising our families by ourselves and, you know, all the things we've had to rise to the occasion of learning how our government works. And I think that, you know, I don't even know how to answer that, really. I just have learned that we can't just sit back. We have to absolutely all pay attention to the news, stay involved and, you know, work to have our voices heard, because if we don't speak out for ourselves, somebody else will speak out, special interest groups or whatever, and we will not be represented by our government.
And Kristen, we can be pretty sure that the commission's going to go through the list of failures that we already know, and a lot of the dots aren't properly connected, and the commission report will certainly help us with that. But, you know, we talk about immigration and the INS and NORAD and the Pentagon and all these other people that ought to have been involved at points and were not. But are the answers about preparing the country all in what went wrong on that day? Is there any risk that the commission report will be too much about what happened on September 11th and not enough about what needs fixing for the next time, as you describe it?
Again, I mean, we haven't seen a copy of the final report, but I think after reading all of the staff statements, you will see that they did address the day of 9/11 at the last hearing. But for the most part, when you read those staff statements and the comments made in them, and you listen and you reread the testimony of the witnesses, a lot of it was more of a broad interpretation of where the failures occurred and what needs to be done. So I'm very hopeful that, I mean, really, when you read those staff statements back to back and you read the back and forth between the witnesses and the commission, it is heartbreaking to see how far off the mark we were with our intel community. And, you know, I am just so hoping that our elected officials and the American people will take this seriously. And I really do believe that the clock is ticking. And more than anything, I want to see some of these things get fixed before the next attack, because if not, you know, then we're not honoring our lost loved ones, because that's why we started this. We did this as a way to honor them, to make sure that no one else had to walk in our shoes, that no other life was lost in vain. And to think that it took us a year to fight for this commission, it's 18 months now in the commission's work, so much time has been lost, and I think more than anything, everyone needs to understand and appreciate the urgency involved, the urgency of what's at stake.
There's an example of that day, Mindy, and I know that it's something you've referred to, so I'll ask you to remind us. Richard Meyer, acting head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, was in a meeting on that morning. Someone came and told him that a plane had hit the World Trade Center towers. What happened next? Do you remember that one?
Yes. Richard Meyer was in a meeting, and he knew that the World Trade Center towers was hit, but he didn't know that it wasn't an accident, and he did not come out of the meeting until the Pentagon was hit. He was not informed. And one of my issues was that it seemed that the leadership in our nation did not understand what was happening during the hours of the attack. And I know that there are protocols and procedures for Secret Service people to get the information to the leadership. And what I wanted to know was where the breakdown occurred, because in the next attack, every second counts, and you never know what is going, what one phone call, what difference one phone call would have made. And so, you know, I'm hoping that this report addresses the protocols and procedures and the breakdowns in communication that allowed the leadership to not really fully understand the urgency that morning.
That and many other questions hanging over the report of the 9/11 Commission, which will be released later this week. What are the answers that you're looking for? We're at 1-800-423-8255 this hour with the Jersey Girls, three women who have been virtually living this issue for the past 2 years, know it perhaps better than the rest of us. 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from NPR. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. Ronald Breitwiser, Kenneth Van Auken, and Alan Kleinberg were three of the people who lost their lives on September 11th, 2001. Their wives, Mindy Kleinberg, Lori Van Auken, Kristen Breitwiser, are with me on the program today talking about the work that they have put in making sure that the 9/11 Commission got off the ground and making sure that a lot of the questions which they wanted answered were in fact addressed by the Commission. This is the week when the Commission delivers its final report. They're with us on the program today to take your questions and to talk about expectations for the report. Our number's 1-800-423-TALK. We're going to next to Kill Devil Hills, North Carolina. David's joining us. Hi, David.
Hey, Dick. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for calling.
Thanks so much for taking my call. I've done a lot of reading and research, and especially going to the Jersey Girls website. And I've also read a book called The New Pearl Harbor by a theologian at Claremont College in California, David Ray Griffin. And it raises a lot of very disturbing questions about the possible complicity. I hate to use that word. But I was wondering what the girls and what you think about the Bush administration going forward. Are we safer? Should we? Have they earned the right to take us into another 4 years? And I'm not asking it from a political point of view, but really from a very realistic and national security point of view. Do they have any opinion about where we should go in the future?
Who'd like to start on that? Lori, do you want to start off?
You know, obviously, we're all going to pretty much struggle with that question as the election comes around. We have experienced many things over these last few years, not the least of which has been the war in Iraq. So I guess everybody needs to search their souls and, you know, think if that was the right thing to do. Is that how we want to go to war? Do we believe in, you know, preemptive strikes? Do we want to have our government tell us the truth about all of these issues? And I think that, you know, if you, you know yourself, you know what you would expect to have your leadership do for you and who we want in those roles. So, you know, that's what we have to do. This is our country and it's our democracy and it's our standing in the world that we're looking at here. So these are very important issues.
And Mindy, perhaps the very first part of David's question, do you think that the country is safer today?
You know, I think undoubtedly that we have made strides, you know, just by the mere fact that there has been public discussion. I mean, I think that you could look at the airports and you could see that there have been certain steps that have been taken. You know, overall, do I think that we're safer today? I don't know how I could say that when, you know, every day there's warnings on TV that we are going to have another terrorist attack here. So I don't think that I don't think that we've gone as far as we should have in the last 3 years. And I think that some of the policies that we've adopted has probably stirred the pot and caused, I mean, even the staff report had talked about the fact that the war in Iraq seemed to generate, you know, a kind of cohesiveness among al-Qaeda and other jihadists. So I think that there's a lot more work that has to be done. And I think that you really have to look at not only our national security here, but what the administration's foreign policy is going to be and how we react with the rest of the world.
Yeah, it's hard to separate one from the other. You're quite right. 1-800-423-8255 is the number to join my conversation this hour with the Jersey Girls. Next to Raleigh, North Carolina, Bill is with us. Hi, Bill.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
My question and comment, I suppose, is that I'm hoping that this report is going to come up with some really meaningful recommendations. And I specifically, for example, we have here a nuclear power plant that's very close by. We know that the terrorists were interested in nuclear power plants, yet I've seen no recommendations from anyone at this point that would do something like they do in Europe, put military around the plants and to perhaps have anti-aircraft guns, that sort of things, around chemical plants, too. I think that perhaps the airports are safer, but it seems they lack vision, and that's what mm-hmm. we did not have at 9/11. No one seemed to think that it was that it was possible for this sort of thing to happen. And I just wonder if that report is going to have any kind of meaningful recommendations and if they will listen to those recommendations at all, the powers that be.
Kristen, is this the report? Is this the moment when questions like Bill's are going to be answered? What will be done?
I don't know if they're going to directly answer questions, you know, whether nuclear power plants are going to be better protected. But I think overall it's fairly apparent what the failures were. You know, we had an intel community that was not analyzing creatively enough, that we're not, you know, some of our intel community as a whole, we just lacked an overall strategy with how to deal with this. And I, you know, you're right, the nuclear power plants are a problem. And there was a gentleman on one of the talk shows yesterday who made a very good point. He said, we're at the point now where we cannot just have our government say, you know, don't worry, we're taking care of it. It's underhand, you know, we got it under control. We can't just accept that premise. We have to say, show us that you have a handle on this. Prove to us that you have a handle on this.
Well, that was sort of what was said to you and the others 2 years ago. Don't worry about a commission. We're dealing with
this.
Well,
that's what I'm trying to say. And I think that we really, really need to insist upon the changes. We need to force it. And it, like I said, democracy takes work. And we really need to make sure that our elected officials, you know, follow up all the rhetoric with action. And I think the saddest thing for us is to realize that the Joint Inquiry of Congress's report came out in December 2002, and it's still sitting on the shelf collecting dust. We visited with both intel committees back in the fall. We said, hold some public hearings, you know, bring this forward, you know, pick up the ball and move it forward. Let's start making change. And yet we still didn't have the hearings that we requested. Yes, they told us, oh, we're doing a lot behind the scenes. Nevertheless, it didn't happen. And to give you a prime example of this sort of, you know, just non-moving in Washington, for lack of a better word, you know, we had the Iraq report come out. Well, you know, yes, that's great that that report came out. Nevertheless, for 2 months, that report sat idle because the two chairs weren't speaking to one another. You know, we can't stand for that behavior anymore. We really, if we're going to say we're going to work together cooperatively, follow it up with the action. Prove to the American people that you're taking this seriously.
All right, let me stop you there, Kristen. I want to go to another call if I can.
Oh, I just want to add one thing to that man's thing.
Mindy.
He should. This is Lori. He should organize. He should organize with other people in his community, and he should, you know, call his elected officials and make that happen.
Exactly.
1-800-423-8255 to Cambridge next. Imran's with us. Hi, Imran.
Hi. I think what I would like to see under maybe chalk under lessons learned are, you know, how have our actions in many of the third world countries under proxy wars that were fought during the Cold War led to the current, I guess, if you want to call it, blowback against America? And many of the institutions that we're talking about as sources of terror, like the madrasas in Afghanistan and Pakistan, are really kind of functions of the Cold War that were set up by the CIA. So I'd like to see that type of analysis addressed.
You know, if I could just answer that sort of, again, we're not experts on this, but I could touch upon it, and I could say one of the problems with those alleged actions was that we had a lot of investigations in the 80s that curtailed a lot of our covert ops, and as a result of that, according to the commission staff statements, we were not able to infiltrate al-Qaeda sufficiently because members of Congress were worried about taking such risks and getting in trouble, basically. And I think that that's what I'm trying to say. We need an overall strategy. We need to know where the American people stand, what they'll put up with, and what Congress is going to be willing to do, whether or not the American people, you know, feel comfortable with it. I can't tell you how many times in the staff statements you read that members of Congress or the intel community were risk-averse. They didn't want to put lives at risk. They didn't want to send a missile in to blow up a camp because they didn't want to kill the civilians. They didn't want to send black ops in to gather intelligence. They didn't want to send the Predator up because it could get shot down. I mean, we need to, as a nation, debate these issues and let our leaders know what we will tolerate and what we will not tolerate, because in the end, you know, we need that overall strategy.
I think that man also was asking about, you know, our actions as a country in foreign, you know, it's one of the things we've, you know, also asked ourselves. And, you know, it comes down to, you know, dependence on foreign oil. It comes down to renewable resources. It comes down to, again, you know, driving smaller cars, acting responsibly in this country, understanding that these are things that are going to affect our standing in the rest of the world. And, you know, it's, again, you know, what will the American people understand and tolerate?
But boy, you know, Mindy, when you make it as big an issue as that, it's like how.
Well, that's what this is, Lori. That was that. I'm just answering that man's question.
No, fair enough. The reason I was just actually turning this to let Mindy in on this, because when you talk about foreign policy and energy strategy and America's place in the world and the 9/11, I mean, it just becomes such. Such an enormous thing to imagine the commission report trying to address.
Well, you know what? That's what that was our problem for the past 2 years in trying to explain these issues to other people in the public. You know, it went from the minutia of how did they get mace onto the plane to the fact that we rely on other countries for our natural resources, and that puts us in a position where sometimes you have to be friends with the enemy. And the issues are so vast and so broad, and it's a difficult thing to make the public understand that, you know what, the fact that we are under the gun and we are at risk of terrorism has to do with not only, you know, securing our borders, but also the decisions we make as a country. And how we treat other countries.
And Kristen,
and
to the
Lori's right.
Sorry, let me just ask.
Well, Lori's right. We have to start thinking about things like, you know what, if we don't want to be dependent on other countries, we have to start thinking about, you know, how do we get the resources here, like alternate energy resources.
And if I'll just jump in, Dick. You know, to be specific, I'll give you an example. You know, our relationship with Saudi Arabia. Now, 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudi. We had the, you know, Saudi flights that flew out that everyone's in an uproar about. You know, we as a nation are clearly dependent on Saudi relations, whether it's an economic dependency, whether it's just we need to maintain good relationships. We as a nation, that's why foreign policy plays into this. We need to find out how we are going to, you know, gel relationships overseas with communities that arguably may be funding terrorists that, frankly, hate us and want to kill us. And that's something that, yes, it's a very broad topic, but it does play into effect. All you have to do, again, I keep going back to the staff statements, read about how many years the Clinton administration and then in turn the Bush administration, the 9 months that they were in office, were debating about how to handle Pakistan. And, you know, these all play into how we are able to better defend ourselves against terrorism. And we need to go from the minutiae to the broader aspects, tie it all together, and decide as a nation where we want to be, what we'll tolerate, and where we need to go.
Lori, quick question for you. Are you worried that there are going to be people who say, you know, we're past September 11th. There's no point in going back and picking apart the details of that day. We've got Homeland Security. We're taking photos of people when they come in through the airports. Let's not go back to that again.
You know, to those people, I will say that September 11th is a model. We spend a lot of money on military exercises. We really don't need to spend that kind of money. We have 9/11 as a model. We can take a look at what actually happened. We have so many examples of within that day to really pull apart, tear apart, look at the minutiae, explain how things worked or didn't work. And, you know, we unfortunately suffered the worst of that day. But from that, we should go forward, take a good hard look at it, and make our recommendations based on what we find. And then, of course, we're going to have to lobby for the recommendations. I mean, we still do have a lot of work to do if, you know, provided the recommendations are good ones and we believe in them. We will help the commissioners to get them passed.
Mm-hmm. Mindy, are you going to give yourself half an hour to take the kids to the beach, to read a book, to relax a little bit?
Once the report is out? Yeah, I think I'll have time to do
15
that.
Minutes. Got 15 minutes.
You know, I just want to say to your last question, you know, isn't there a saying that if you don't learn from history, you are doomed to repeat it? And that's what I'd like to say to people who are thinking that we're past September 11th.
I want to thank all three of you for joining me once again on the program. It's great to hear from you. Mindy Kleinberg, Lori Van Auken, and Kristen Breitweiser. Again, thanks for your time. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection.